Of course, in Hebrews 11, we know that there exists the Hall of Fame of Faith. Talking about a lot of Old Testament saints. And it's a little disheartening to see folks that aren't there. It's kind of really encouraging to see some folks that made it. Amen? I mean, if Rahab the harlot could make it to the Hall of Fame of Faith, praise the Lord. But I want to look, beginning at verse number 23, here in just a minute, I want to look at some things. I guess I'd title it Lessons from the Life of Moses. Lessons from the Life of Moses. And we understand that Moses had a special relationship with the Lord. And the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. Noah had a church in the wilderness, if you will. He was the one that God met with on the mountain, gave him the Ten Commandments. He was at that time an intercessor between the Father and God's chosen people there. And beginning in verse number 23... the Word of God says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. And here I think, if there was a rescue line, if there was a plan of a plan to salvage the church age, a plan to wake saved believers up, a plan to prepare born-again believers for the judgment seat of Christ, a plan to encourage people to keep on keeping on, a plan to wake people up that have been lulled into a sense of do-nothingness, if you will. I think this would be it. You know, the Bible, not all written directly to us, but it was all written for us. And I think you can learn a lot more from the Christian life, from Moses than you'd ever expect. And we'll look at some of that today. And I believe that Abraham, being the father of faith and a great man of God, can be viewed as an amazing type of God the Father, and Moses, in a sense, being a type of Christ between the Father and Israel. And also, we can see him as the type of a Christian walking the walk here. The first thing I want to see is in verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The first thing I want to notice about Moses and the way I see him as a type of the born-again believer, he was saved and protected by the Lord. Saved and protected by the Lord. He was He was in an ark before arks became popular, amen, an ark of bulrushes. And God raised him up out of an impossible situation and kept him safe. And if you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you've been raised up from the dead and placed in Christ and given eternal life. Saved and protected by the Lord. And it doesn't end there. I mean, it doesn't end there. If that's all that happened in Moses' life, that'd be an amazing story, amen? They're wiping out all the children of Israel. They've got a command to get rid of the male children and all that. And then if the only thing that Moses was in the Bible for was to show that, excuse me, God can save and protect, praise the Lord, that'd be an amazing thing. But there's much more to the story of Moses, and there's much more than putting up with a bunch of murmuring, complaining Baptists before Baptists even become popular, amen? There's so much in the life of Moses we can look at from these verses alone. But he was saved and protected by the Lord. In verse number 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He rejected the easy road. He was born into a situation where he could have been in Pharaoh's house, he could have been Pharaoh's family, could have had Pharaoh's riches and power and prestige, and he rejected that. It's sad and very unfortunate that today it seems like most people, and unfortunately a lot of preachers, are trying to get in Pharaoh's house. They want the power. They want the prestige. They want the easy road. And that's why you have all the different denominations out there today, because they want the easy road. They want to just pretend and believe that everything's all right. And if they are saved, that's it. They're saved and they're headed for heaven, and that's all there is to it. And if they're not saved, then they can pretend like they're good enough. They have the power. They have the ability. When without Christ, we're nothing. Without Christ, he that hath not the Son is condemned already. But Moses was saved for a purpose. He was protected by the Lord, and he rejected the easy road. It'd be nice if we could have 500 people hear this message that were willing to reject the easy road. Because I don't think the easy road is being preached against anymore. But Moses had everything in his lap he could have been asked for: the power of the world, the prestige of the world, anything the world had to offer. And he rejected that easy road. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Accepting the narrow path. Think about these words again. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what the Bible says. That's Bible. That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. Amen. And Moses decided to not take the easy road, but to accept that narrow path. He didn't take the road that was paved by the world, that was not like 70 Highway with all the potholes and stuff. Amen. You could lose a car out there. Matter of fact, I think we lost parts of ours on 70. But he had laid before him at birth a road that, although not pure gold as God has to offer, could have been pretty smooth sailing for Moses. But he rejected that road and he accepted the narrow path. He accepted the path of truth. I think a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, and misinformation from the pulpits today is that the narrow path is a smooth path. God saves you and He wants everything to be easy and luxurious and tickling to the ear and satisfying to the flesh. And that's the opposite of the truth. The narrow path has rocks and potholes and dangerous cliffs and rough steps on it. The broad way is what's being offered for most part to God's people today. And the broad way we know leads to destruction. I understand if you're saved, you're saved. But the broad way will destroy all your opportunity to have anything at the judgment seat of Christ to lay back at the feet of Jesus Christ. It's the narrow path. And that narrow path that you choose to walk is the right path if you choose to walk it. He rejected the easy road. He accepted the narrow path. And here's where the Holy Spirit is able to take the teeth out of the mouth of the lion that's trying to devour His people. 25 again says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We are so misinformed and so trained from an early age, like Pavlov's dog, to respond in a conditioned way and for the flesh to be tickled about it. We like to do something and have the flesh rewarded for it. We like to do something without a bunch of opposition. We're trained from an early age to walk against the truth. We're trained from the early age to seek out the broad way, the easy way, the way that appeals to the flesh, the way that glories in man's works. And you have to retrain yourself through the Word of God, the power of God, and prayer to understand the reward of the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord from doing the right thing, the tough thing, walking on the narrow path. You know what I think is missing more than anything? Born-again believers just doing something for somebody that nobody knows about but you and the Lord. Just do something for somebody. I mean, you know, hey, we're digging wells in Haiti. Hey, look at me. I give $5 million a year. And, you know, Bill Gates, he's going to be broke when he dies because he's giving all his money back to himself. Amen. All this stuff. How about giving somebody a hand up when nobody knows about it? And let nobody know about it. I have a hard time. I don't do enough good to justify telling you guys what I do, because when I don't want my rewards all here. I want to be given something there, amen? But when I like to talk about when the Lord does use this old donkey, amen? When the Lord will let us do something to glorify Him. When we actually take the narrow path. I remember years ago, about four years ago, left church, we're exhausted. I don't remember, it must have been a Wednesday night because it was late. Headed over the Speedway. We headed over to Richmond. We were by Speedway, about out of gas. We were getting ready to get some gas, and there's a couple that were in a rough situation sitting over at the bank right next to Speedway, and they're sitting there on the curb, you know, and pull in there and get out and say, "How you doing?" Be able to bend down there and get give them a track, talk to them about the Lord. Well, really, my flesh wanted to go home and go to bed. But it's things like that that we overlook. It's opportunities like that that are just small things that we don't take advantage of that we could. Who else is going to stop and talk to them besides maybe the police? Amen? Why is that? Because everybody else is on the broad road. I mean, and we spend a lot of time on that road. We spend a lot of time saying we're not going down the tough path. It's just easier to pass them by. It's easier to pretend like, oh, well, you know, I'll be a Calvinist tonight. If they want saved, God's going to make sure they're saved. Amen. And the truth is, I believe that if they're looking for truth, God's going to send somebody to give them the truth. But you know what? A lot of times He wants it to be you. Moses rejected the easy way, and Moses accepted the narrow path. And he denied the pleasures of sin. Aren't we a mess? You ever get real close to the Lord, and I mean just praying and reading your Bible and getting real close to the Lord, and He does something that just boggles your mind. And you're amazed, and you're wanting to brag on Him, and the flesh says, "All right, now let's do something for me." And boy, the devil will give you an opportunity to mess everything up. But you know what Moses did? He denied the pleasures of sin because sin is pleasurable for a season, and sin, when it's finished, will bring forth death. And what it does, it always kills your spiritual walk when you're living like the devil. And as soon as you make a decision to reject the easy road, to get on the narrow path, the devil's going to offer you things to take you back down the wrong avenue. But Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, think about this. He chose to suffer, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Where are the people of God today that are suffering affliction? Who do you have to suffer with? So, well, I don't need church. Oh, you need church. You need the church to encourage each other to stay in. Amen. You need church to encourage each other that, hey, I don't have to quit. I don't have to be vacuumed into the mess of the world. And I don't have to stand alone. I know all the spiritual things about you're never alone, Jesus is with you and all that. But you know what it says here? He says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I'm glad you're here. Welcome here. Praise the Lord you're here. But you're going to suffer some affliction if you're here. Unless you decide to just sleep in the pew and take the broad path when you're outside of here. But if you're going to do what the Word of God tells you to do and be part of this church, you're going to suffer for it. And not just my preaching, amen. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. They're getting ready to open a new church down here. It's going to be a multi-million dollar deal. And I don't know anything about them. Praise the Lord. I hope they get people saved. But my guess is it's going to be a real comfortable place for people to go and hide. That's my guess. I hope I'm wrong. But that's my guess. You know why? Because it's taken over the world. It's taken over the world. And I'm telling you, the born-again believers that get into that stuff, I'm not telling you that to keep you in this church. If God calls you to another church, go to another church. I don't want anybody to leave. I'm not asking that. But what I'm saying is, I don't have any motive to discredit anybody else. I'm just telling you what's happening around the world. People are taking the broad way. I have relatives and I know other folks that went to a church and it made them uncomfortable. They didn't want to go back. I don't want to go to church. I don't like going to church. It made me uncomfortable. And some of them will land in a place where they can be comfortable. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to be uncomfortable for the cause of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be comfortable knowing that you're saved, you're sealed, you're set apart for a purpose, and that He will reward you. You don't need the things of the flesh. You're not a baby anymore. You've grown in the sincere milk of the Word. You're onto some meat. You're not a little child that needs somebody to reward you for everything you do. You have the promises that God will reward you for the things nobody else knows you've done. If you've done anything. He accepted the narrow path. He denied the pleasures of sin. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know what he knew? He was going to be rewarded later by the one that could give him true reward. I can't remember the missionary's name, but I remember hearing the story years ago, and it hit me. That he had been born into a wealthy family, a multi-million dollar family. I don't remember. It was probably somebody on the condiment shelf at the Walmart, you know, the Heinz or something. It wasn't them. It was some big company that y'all would recognize. And I can't remember the name of it right now. He was born into that family. And he had all this money offered him, and he was called to the mission field. And he was going to the mission field, and the people were telling him, "You're a fool. You're leaving all that wealth behind." And if I remember right, I think his family were disowning him and saying, "We're going to cut you out of the will if you leave, if you do that. If you go follow that crazy path that you're going to be on, we'll just cut you out." I'm pretty sure that was the story. And he left, went over the mission field, was there for a short period of time, and was killed. So, man, it's a terrible thing. But what if he didn't leave and was killed? If he was in the center of God's will when he left, he'll be rewarded for that. But it would have been a lot easier for the flesh to say, "You know what? I could have anything I want and stay here." But if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're a born-again child of God and you choose the things of this world, you'll always be miserable. And not only that, when this life's over, you're going to be miserable at the judgment seat of Christ. Moses denied the pleasures of sin, and he sought treasure in heaven instead of carnal compensation. Most born-again believers are still running around like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, living on carnal compensation. Attaboy! Attagirl! Man, we've seen what you did. You're great. And the truth is, the things that are going to count in heaven are going to be things you've done for Jesus Christ, and mostly nobody knew about it. Maybe you and the person. It's funny here, a couple years ago, a guy was at Walmart parking lot, and he had I will work for food, and I'm like, "My car needs cleaned out, amen. Try to find some Cheetos in there." No, but I stopped, talked to him a little bit. "You hungry?" He said, "Yeah, I'm hungry." Go over to Kroger's and get eight piece of chicken or whatever, and go over there and sit on the curb with him and eat, talk to him, find out the guy's saved. His life had just been trashed. Sitting out there on the curb, somebody that hadn't had a bath in 2 months that was cleaner than most people walking in and out of Walmart. Eternally. Amen. Funny was, he wasn't that hungry. I ate more chicken than he did. Amen. Probably can't tell, right? I'm not telling you that to brag on me or anything like that. I'm just saying that's what the Lord said to do. That's what I did. And I found out that this guy was saved, had a testimony of salvation, was quoting King James Bible verses. And he ended up out there. You never know. And you never will if you don't talk to people. He sought treasures in heaven instead of carnal compensation. again, back in verse number 26, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He trusted God to reward his faithfulness. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to say, well, sure would like to go to Tahiti, wouldn't you? Sure would like to go to Pikes Peak, or you should would like to go to, never been to the Lookout Mountain, never been this, never done that. And you need to get you a bucket list, and you need to do these things the bucket list, because life's short, it's going to be over one day, and you're going to wish you'd have done that. Let me tell you something, if you're on your deathbed, down to your last breath, you're not going to be worried about Lookout Mountain. Amen. You're not going to be worried about, man, if I would have just strategically put more money in my 401k, or if I would have just, this offer, if I'd have got on that back in the 80s, you won't be thinking about that. What have I done for Christ? Terrible tragedy, I never made it to Pike's Peak. No, the terrible tragedy is if you're blood-bought, born-again, child of God, and you never do anything for Jesus Christ, and you die that way. Moses sought treasures in heaven instead of carnal compensation. He trusted God to reward his faithfulness. You know what one of the biggest lies the preachers are telling today? Not all of them, but many of them. Is that God will compensate you here for what you do. God doesn't care if you have money in your bank. He promises to take care of your needs. He doesn't want you to be necessarily rich like Bill Gates. He wants you to be rich in Christ with eternal rewards laid up in heaven where moth and rust can't get to him. Amen. Moses trusted God to reward his faithfulness. If you're faithful here, no matter how bad it gets, God will reward that. You know what Abraham did? He started out a mess. Abram, he ended faithful. Jacob, he started out a mess. The supplanter, he ended faithful. David, boy, he started out good, got in a great big mess in the middle, ended faithful. So what's the most important thing for a child of God? End faithful. End faithful. Moses trusted God to reward his faithfulness. Look at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, little k, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He feared God over man. For the rewards, he trusted God over man. It's better to trust the Lord and put confidence in man. When it come to fear, he feared God over man. You know what most folks fear? They fear man. Boy, I don't know, preacher, if they turn loose another virus, or if they outlaw church, I don't know what we're going to do. I guess we're just going to have to live spring. No, I'll be here until they take me out in handcuffs or shoot me. If me and the Lord have anything over it. Now, if I turn and lose my mind or whatever, sorry. But what if? The devil wants you to get caught up in what ifs. And the Lord wants you to get caught up in Him. We're going to be caught up by Him. Right now, He wants you to be caught up with Him, in Him. He feared God over man. He said, well, you know, preacher, the Lord wanted me to hand this track out the other day, and I just, man, that guy looked mean, and I was afraid somebody was going to say something to me, and, you know, you're fearing man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You'll be trapped in a spot of doing nothing with your life if you fear man. Now for you ladies, I mean, use some common sense. I wouldn't go up to 20 bikers and start handing out tracts by yourself or something like that. I mean, if the Lord calls you to do it, though, I mean, He overrides me. But we're a lot of times so afraid that that little person, that little old lady, or that fellow over there going to make fun of us or yell at us or scream at us or cuss us. I get that on the highway. I mean, they might as well have a reason to do it instead of just my driving, amen. Well, I was going to give it to him, preacher, but I just, man, I knew they were going. I knew they weren't going to. They weren't going to accept it. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody wants to hear the truth. That's a lie of the devil. And I'll tell you how I know that. Because I've overcome that fear a couple times and found out there are people out there looking for the truth and not getting it. I mean, sure, there's a handful of the other two. Well, you know, well, science has proved there is no God. No, science has proved there's nothing between your ears. Amen? Except what man put in there. Well, you know, they, you know, oh, Darwin, he said, and, oh, you believe that fairy tale. Oh, you know, that church, I wouldn't go to church. Oh, preachers, I hate preachers. Preachers are, they're con artists, they're scammers, they're liars, they're thieves. Churches are a scam, religion's a scam. I hear all that stuff. But 90% of the time I hear, thank you. And every once in a while I hear, boy, I've been looking for this. Man, I've been worried about this. Every once in a while, God will line you up with that person that's been up at night for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 nights wondering about heaven and hell. And if you don't talk to them, you'll never know who it is. Moses trusted God to reward his faithfulness. He feared God over man. Look at verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know what kept Moses going? I mean, I know God talked with him, he met with him in the mountain, all that, he got the burning bush, all that stuff. But you know what really kept him going? He remembered the blood. He remembered the blood on the doorpost that saved his people. Oh, you got a bloody religion. We need to quit singing songs about the blood. We need to have rock concerts and dancing girls and fireworks and smoke and all that stuff. We need to just quit singing that about the blood. We need to sing about happy things. You know what Moses did? He remembered the blood. If you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is on your doorpost, amen? You're the temple of God. The blood is on your doorpost. Moses said, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm saved and protected by the Lord. I'm going to reject the easy road. I'm going to accept the narrow path. I'm going to deny the pleasures of sin. I'm going to seek treasures in heaven instead of the things of man. I'm going to trust God to reward me later. I'm not going to fear man. I'm going to fear God over man. And I'm going to remember the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ that bought me. Amen. So I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, go to a church where they preach all that good stuff. Amen. I'm just going to preach it straight to you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed it for you. And what are you doing for Him? Well, I'm hiding and cowering, but I'm saved. I prayed before I ate a couple weeks ago. I bowed my head in the sacred place of the Golden Corral and offered up a silent prayer. Thank you for food, Lord. And Moses said, I don't fear man over God. I'm going to let them know whose side I'm on. And he remembered the blood. Now God saved the people by the blood on the doorpost. And He saved your soul through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you got a choice. You got one or two roads. I understand that we can all get a foot on the broad path every once in a while. But that doesn't mean you have to stay off the narrow road of truth. It takes strength. It takes spiritual power and courage that only God can give you to stay on the path of righteousness. But if you're not living for Jesus Christ, and you're not doing something that nobody knows about, you and the Lord, maybe one other person or two that you're involved in, you're on the path of regret. The path of regret. I don't like that path. Been on it a few times. Don't like it. Don't want to end on it. Remember the blood. God's blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ that bought you out of the bondage of sin. Did you live in sin now? God forbid. Or walk that narrow path. Walk that narrow path, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Father, we love you and thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood you shed on Calvary. Lord, we need your help. We need your strength. We need your power. We need your forgiveness. That you would strengthen us and put us on the right path, keep us on the right path, and we'd end on the right path. Not fearing man, but trusting you. Not seeking constant reward for the flesh, but seeking eternal reward from the Father. Help us, Lord. Bless the meal downstairs. Bless the time of fellowship. Bless the nursing home service coming up. We thank you and praise you and give you all the glory. And thank you for the example of the life of Moses. We love you and thank you for Jesus Christ and the blood shed on Calvary. In Jesus' name.